You ready?
Yeah, man, they're waiting on you. All right, all right. We got some birthdays today. Amen, amen. Howdy, howdy. All right, all right. Does anybody have a birthday? Well, we're a little away from that. You know what? Oh, you did have a birthday January 5th. What month are we in right now? Do you know? June. Good guess. It starts with a J, but it's not June. Do you know what else? You know what it is? July. That's right. July. Do you know what today is? Sunday. It's Sunday the 17th, my friend. Oh, who we do? Oh, my goodness. How old is she going to be? 10? And when is the birthday? July 23rd? All right. July 23rd. Well, Miss Sissy, you got somebody to share a birthday with you. Amen. So, Miss Sissy, she's going to be 10. How old are you going to be? 57. All right, where are you going, Miss Sissy? All right, so happy birthday, Miss Sissy. And then John Davlin, yours is on 2 days from now, the 19th. How old are you going to be, Brother John? Seventy-nine. Way to go, Brother John. Way to go, man. All right, yeah. All right, y'all ready to sing some happy birthday to him? All right, let's sing some happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Well, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing. Darkness. closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name.
Communion songs here this morning. I don't know if y'all are going to know this one, but if you pick up the tune, you know, please sing along. We'll sing it through a couple of times.
Come to the table of mercy, prepared with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Come at the Lord's invitation, receive from his nail-scarred hand, eat of the bread of salvation, drink of the blood of the Lamb. Come to the table of mercy, prepared with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Come at the Lord's invitation, receive from his nail-scarred hand. Eat of the bread of salvation, drink of the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen.
Dearly Father, we just come here today just to worship you and praise you, Lord. And we just thank you for everything you have given us, Lord. We thank you for this choir and, you know, and Jeremiah leading the music, and Laura back there, Lord, we just appreciate that, Lord, and we thank you for the air condition here this morning, Lord, and Lord, we just ask you to be with us today. We observe the Lord's Supper, Lord, and thank you for us being able to do that, Lord, and thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, dying on that cross and rose again, Lord. We thank you for that. And, Lord, we just ask you to be with the pastor this morning as he preaches the word. And, Lord, we just ask the Holy Spirit to work. And, Lord, if there's anybody here today that don't know you, Lord, we pray they come forth and give their life to you. And we do thank you for any visitors here today. We pray that they're blessed. And, Lord, we just thank you for everything you've given us. We just give a small portion back to you, Lord. So we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just give this back to you in honor in your name. In Jesus I pray, amen.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King. Alleluia. Where old death is now thy sting. Alleluia. Dying once he all doth save. Alleluia. Where thy victory, O grave. Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done. Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise. Alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia.
Amen. Okay, amen. Well, how are you doing on this Insta Sweat Sunday? Amen. Nothing like a clean body and you step outside the house and before you get in the truck, you can feel it dripping down your legs. Huh? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord for that cold shower. Amen. Very good. We got some children's church going on today. All right, let the hounds be released. All right. Very good, very good. Ooh, excited. Excited today. Amen, amen. All right, and my door guy with the radio. I got a door guy back there on the radio. Yeah. All right, we'll be calling you guys when invitation hits to come on back, okay? So y'all can, you adults can have Lord's Supper today. Amen, amen. You got it, amen. Is everything okay? Amen. All right. Very good, very good. Let's see here. This morning is communion, the Lord's Supper. And I always like to let everyone know that we practice open communion here. So if you've received Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, and you follow the Lord and believers' baptism, we invite you to receive the elements. If you feel like you can receive the elements, so it's open communion, not closed. You want to continue to be in prayer. Thank you, Brother John. You want to continue to be in prayer for Maddie and Terry. They have gotten to where they needed to get to in Uganda. And so they are in the very beginning stages of their mission trip. So please be in prayer for them and the whole Rescue Hope team there in Uganda. And then, Brother John, you'll be bringing your mission report tonight. Is that correct? All right, Brother John will be bringing his mission report tonight. And so you want to come back and hear that with Texas Christian Builders. Yeah, Texas Christian Builders. And also on your way out, if you want to receive a financial statement on the church and or the school, I don't know. Okay, yeah, I got you. and or the school. Brother John will have those for you at the end of the service. If you have any questions on the financial statements, you can reach out to Brother John, yeah, and Miss Alita. All right, very good. I'm getting the sign language as I go. Amen? So, you need to bunt. All right, you need to bunt. I like how they grab that ear. All right, we're bunting. Okay, all right, very good. For the rest of you, those of you with us online, good to have you today. Amen? Online folks, always good. So, let's begin. Let's take a copy of God's Word. Stand to our feet if we can. We're going to be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. We'll begin reading here at verse 18. Today is the Lord's Supper. Next Sunday morning after the a.m. worship service, we will be having our semi-annual members meeting. For those of you watching with us online, if you want to have your elements ready, you've got a piece of bread, you've got some juice or something that represents for you the cup. Those of you with us online, you get those things ready, and we'll be going through those here in a little bit. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 18. If you found that this morning, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, "Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, he," talking about Christ, "he became hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, 'No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you.' And at once the fig tree withered. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, 'How did the fig tree wither all at once?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, "Be taken up and cast into the sea," it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your holy and inerrant word. We thank you for your church that you've assembled here today. We pray, Lord, as we come to remember, that, Lord, we truly would remember the price that was paid, the blood that was shed, your death that you gave freely, your life that you gave freely to die for us. Took our place. We praise you and we thank you for that today. If there's one here watching online this morning, one here in the house with us this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, perhaps they're going through simply the motions of religion, we pray that before the hour is up, that they would find themselves down here in the midst of the altar seeking, trying to understand what it means to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Father God, I would love to have that conversation with somebody that's lost. What it means to be saved. So, Lord, draw them down, convict their heart in such a way that they cannot deny the truth any longer, and they have to obey. They have to obey the call to be saved. We love you and we praise you for all that you do for us, how you provide. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God. Now, where are we at? After our Lord made his triumphal entry, remember that? On the foal of a donkey, entered into the city of Jerusalem after he cleansed the temple. Remember that, right? Cleansed the temple. And after he left to spend the evening nearby Bethany, Matthew chapter 21, 18 through 22, tells us about the barren fig tree incident. Now, what you need to understand about fig trees in the Bible is quite fascinating. There's some interesting facts about how fig trees were perceived, about what fig trees were about. It's just incredible what the little fig tree was. Just from a practical standpoint, fig trees were desirable foliage. You wanted them, right? You planted them. You took care of them. You pruned them on up and all that jazz. The fruit of the fig tree was good and sweet. And so people would often go to a fig tree to sit back, relax, and reflect while munching away on a fig or two or maybe three. In a way, you could almost think of meeting under a fig tree as the biblical equivalent of meeting at a familiar breakfast spot or a familiar and favorite lunch spot or even perhaps a familiar coffee spot. Perks, De Novo, Starbucks, and now Dutch Bros, right? If you've been around, all right? You can see all those places. When the people of Israel saw the fig trees putting forth the early green figs, they looked at those trees with a warm heart as a sign that springtime had come. When we think about fig trees in the Bible, we think about fig trees and how it relates to different biblical principles. What's fascinating is that with fig trees, it doesn't just end with a meeting spot and a sugary snack. The fig tree bears a symbolic connection with Israel. The fig tree and its fruit is a symbol of Israel as a people and a nation. Our King, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had already once, at the beginning of His ministry, in the Gospel of John, had already once come to His temple. And what does John tell us He did? John tells us that He had to clean the temple. And so He cleansed it at the beginning of His ministry. Now, 3 years later, Jesus came again, hoping He would find some kind of symbolic fruit, if you will, on His fig tree, but still found none. All He found when He got to the temple was barrenness. He came expecting faith in Himself. He came expecting fruit, and all He found, all He was greeted by, was religious leaders with opposition and unbelief. Now, as we come to the Lord's Supper table this morning, there are some very practical spiritual principles for us to take away. Number one, religion alone, going through the motions of church, putting on a spiritual face and not having it in your heart. Religion alone, using the church for some kind of ego trip. Religion alone is spiritual barrenness. Are you hearing me today? Spiritual barrenness. Look at verse 18 and 19. Now in the morning, when he was returned to the city, he became hungry. Seeing along the fig tree by the road, he came to it, found nothing on it except leaves. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree withered. Let me try to set the context for you. Jesus, lo and behold, is all God and all man. And what do we know about all man? What do we know about human beings? Human beings have this thing in us called glycogen. And the glycogen has to be at a certain level for us to function. And so Jesus here, as a human, has found or discovered or is experiencing as he goes along his way that his glycogen stores need to be replenished. You get out in the yard, you work, you do a physical job, you walk mile and mile and mile after mile, and you find out that you burn through your sugar pretty quick. You got to replenish that. So while traveling, Jesus saw leaves on this lone fig tree by the road, which was a first and a great sign if you were hungry for figs. That thing's got leaves on it. Fig trees in this part of the world produced a sort of early fig in the springtime, a small one that came just before the leaves began to grow. So if you see one with leaves in the springtime, man, this is that early fig. These early figs were not as big and juicy as the later figs would be, but they were still very tasty. And a fig's a fig if you're hungry for a fig, amen? Right. Fig Newton, any Fig Newton lovers here? Right. You like the Fig Newtons, okay. Well, you know how to relate then, amen? Fig trees, right? From a distance, the fig tree had all the promise of fruitfulness, all the appearances of bearing something that he desired. But on closer examination, the tree had only the outward appearance of fruitfulness, and it bore none of the fruit. See, Jesus came to his temple expecting to find genuine fruits of faith from his people. Instead, he was greeted with unbelief. He was greeted with opposition, and he was greeted with the abuse of his father's house. There was the outward presentation of religion all over the place, but none of the real fruit. There were lots of offerings being made, lots of scriptures being recited, lots of animals being purchased for sacrifice. The people were even being so careful about religion that they made sure that the coins of pagan nations were exchanged into money that would be acceptable to use in the temple. But all of the religion was nothing more than the mere outward promise of fruitfulness and nothing more. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what this passage communicates? This passage communicates the inadequacy of going through the motions, the inadequacy of spiritual barrenness. There's no real spiritual fruit. None. Just green leaves that look good from a distance, but on closer inspection, no figs. It was all fig leaves, but no figs. I ask you the question, do you know what this passage communicates? Do you know what this passage illustrates? This passage illustrates the inadequacy of fig leaves. In other words, the inadequacy of self-work for salvation. The inadequacy of religion to cover my sin. You say, does it really? I'll take you back to the book of Beginnings. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. The Word of God reads, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, Adam and Eve, our first parents." Why were their eyes open, Pastor? Because they had eaten the forbidden fruit that the Father told them not to touch or eat. Well, they had. And they knew that they were naked, the Bible says. And you know what they did? They sewed fig leaves together. Fig leaves. And made themselves loin coverings. The Word of God continues in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. That isn't going to cut it. Fig leaves. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Basically, a living creature had to die. A living creature had to shed its blood so that Adam and Eve's consequence of sin could be covered. See, church, when we come to the table this morning, Jesus is asking us to remember His death, His shed blood for the remission of our sins and a way back to the Father. Amen? See, Jesus hungers for us to remember. Jesus hungers for a spiritual relationship with His people. Not just a promise of a relationship or an outward appearance of a relationship, but a real, genuine relationship. So what does Jesus do in the midst of all this? Well, our passage tells us, we read it, verse 19. Jesus then cursed the fig tree. He cursed it. This is a symbol of our Lord's condemnation on those Jewish leaders who rejected Him when He came to them. I want you to think about that first generation folk. First generation Jewish folk. First generation Jewish folk there in the Jewish temple. Theirs was the most privileged generation of all Jewish people. It was to them that the long-awaited Messiah, the long-awaited King, had come in peace on the foal of a donkey. And yet they would not believe on Him. They would not believe in Him. And so their opportunity to bear fruit for Him was lost. You can reject Christ a time or two. But friend, I just don't know how many times you get to reject Him. I do not know. I do not know. It's way above my pay grade. How many times you get to reject the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart for salvation. I don't know how many times you get to do that. Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, if you want to look ahead a little bit, I won't try to steal too much thunder from that passage, but Matthew 21, 43 says, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it." That would be me and you, the Gentiles, right? It's been handed over. What's the application of all this so far as we think about the barren fig tree incident? It's this. Many today seek to cloak a heart of unbelief toward the Lord. They try to behave religiously, observing all the rules and all the regulations. They go to church regularly. They have a pride about how they are better than others. Religious have nothing more than religion. No real spiritual fruit. Jesus in the midst of us today, as he walks this aisle, Jesus, up and down the aisle, as Jesus makes his way around the sanctuary today, if he looks but does not find the following, if he looks and does not find the following, we're in some deep trouble this morning. If he looks and does not find that we have a genuine relationship with him by faith, we need to get one. If he looks and does not find that we confess our sinfulness and place our trust solely upon the cross, we need to get there. If he looks and does not find that we allow him to be progressively purify our lives of the things that displease him, we better make some adjustments in our lives. If he looks and does not find that we obey him out of a grateful heart of love toward him, oh, if he looks and doesn't find that, we need to make a change. If he looks and does not find that we trust him daily as our Savior, as our Lord, and as our greatest friend, oh, we better make a change. Amen? Mere religiosity without genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it may look good before men. Oh, it may be very impressive. But it greatly displeases the Lord. It produces nothing but spiritual barrenness. If the Lord examines you this morning and finds nothing but the mere leaves of religiosity, then you want to act, dear friend. You want to become a true child of God in Jesus. Religion alone is spiritual barrenness. Secondly, this morning, we want to bring. When we come to the elements this morning, we want to bring. When we come to the Lord's Supper table, we want to bring a genuine faith to the table this morning. Look at verses 20 through 22. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, "How did the fig tree wither all at once?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." The table this morning, the Lord's Supper table, the elements this morning, the table, what this represents, is about dependency upon the Lord. Say that with me. Dependency. Oh, one more time. Dependency. Oh, let's get it right now. One more time. Dependency. Amen? Dependency on the Lord. Dependency. We're reminding ourselves of what Jesus has done for us. And receiving the elements this morning, it should embolden our faith. It should give our faith a spring. It should give our faith a surge. It should give our faith a charge to produce great spiritual fruit for Him. Having faith in Jesus, however, is not about having a blank check when it comes to prayer. Now, if you lift these verses out of their context, If you lift these verses out of the rest of God's Word, if you lift these verses away from other things that gospel writers and Jesus himself say about prayer, you can have a pretty twisted prayer life. No telling how many times well-intentioned but misunderstanding people have read this passage, lifted it out of the Bible, read this one passage, and then looked at a mountain and praying that it be moved and cast into the sea, and then said when the mountain did not move, I knew this stuff about the Lord was fake. I knew this stuff about Jesus would not work. I knew this was one more hoax in a series of hoaxes. Friend, Jesus is not giving us some kind of blank check to do whatever we want independently from his lordship. What are we to have faith in then, preacher? We are to have faith in who, church? Yeah. Some people want to put their faith in faith. And some people have faith in Christ. What are we not to doubt? We are not to doubt His will expressed clearly in His Word. What are we to have faith in? Faith in Him. What are we not to doubt? We are not to doubt His will expressed clearly in His Word. See, Jesus, His answer to His disciples, is more about faith in Him and obedient trust in His Word than it is about having some kind of proverbial blank check when we go to our prayer closet. The table this morning is about dependency on Christ. The table this morning is about abiding in Christ. May our faith this morning be recognized by Jesus as faith that draws our very life from Him, and a faith that cannot do anything apart from Him. See, friend, if you approach life, if you approach your day, and you say, man, I'm going to conquer this, and I'm going to do this, and I've got all these goals, and this is going to happen for me today. I'm so positive. I'm so pumped. And there's not any God in there. There's not any Christ in there. There's not any putting that before the Lord in there. There's not any, Lord, help me in there. There's not any, oh man, Jesus, I need you today, help. There's not any dependency or abiding in Him. If you're just going through the motions and it's all about you, that ought to give you a pretty good indication that Christ isn't in the mix. Amen? The Lord's Supper table is an antidote to that kind of thinking. We're to be dependent upon Him, abiding in Him. See, after the table this morning, we should be, once again, completely yielded to His will. Without doubt and without wavering. So as you reflect this morning, during the invitation, as you reflect this morning during the invitation, what needs to get out of you so that you can experience the infilling that the Lord wants for you this morning? Or if you're simply religious, I know what needs to get into you. You may have to wrestle with what needs to get out of you, but I know exactly, if you're religious, I know what needs to get into you. Our wonderful Lord and Savior needs to get into you, whose death we remember this morning. He needs to come into you, casting out the darkness that abides in you and bringing the wonderful light of His salvation. That's what needs to get in you if you're simply religious. Friend, if you'll let that happen, the death will fall away. The death will be gone. It'll be you and Christ forever and ever and ever. And a saved individual is a blessed individual at the Lord's Supper table. A saved individual is an excited individual at the Lord's Supper table. We get to relive it and remember it, everything that he's done for us. Amen, church? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll have a time of invitation. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you at this point, this time, and we thank you, Lord, that we can be in this passage, talk about this barren fig tree, and Lord, what false religion is, and religiosity, and all of those things. And Lord, we seek to be genuine. We seek to be sold out. We seek to be at the center of your will for our lives. And so, Lord, we pray for the church today that they would reflect, that they would look inward, that they would discern and determine perhaps what needs to be lifted out of their lives so that they can be reminded fully of what you've done in their lives, what you've done for them through your death, burial, and resurrection. So, Father God, may we have a time of invitation where we get vulnerable, where we get opened. And, Lord, may we not simply go through the motions of the Lord's Supper, but may this truly be a spiritual rejuvenation time for us, a fresh infilling. Not that we're getting any more of anything, but we're getting our eyes refocused on what you've done for us. In experiencing the blessing of having a fresh awareness of how saved and taken care of and kept for all eternity we truly are. Be with those, Lord, that need to make decisions, that need to come and pray, if perhaps there is somebody that needs to do that. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for all that you want to do in the midst of us today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, the altars are open. I'm here to greet you. If you need to talk about salvation, you come.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in we can hide, and its grace is so free, is sufficient for me, and deep is that fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room.
If our deacons will come at this time, don't go too far. You have to sing while they're coming, while they're handing out elements. All right. They're going to prepare the table this morning. And as they do that, they'll be handing out to you the bread and the cup at the same time. The bread and the cup at the same time. So Guys, if you'll get your elements there, and they're just going to stand down here, and you're free to come. And if you can't make it down here, then we'll get some elements to you, okay? All right, so come on down, amen. Huh? Yeah, but that's for the big kids. Okay, I know you do. I know you do. Nana, explain that bread thing to you. There you go, buddy. Amen. Thank you, Mason. You be Brother Ron's big helper there. Keep Brother Ron in line. Amen. All right. Are you going to sing something as we? Yeah, okay. That'll work. Amen.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Amen. All right. Well, we will read some scripture, and then I'll make some comments. And then we'll have a prayer of thanksgiving, and then we will partake of the bread and the same thing on the cup. We'll read some scripture and have some comments, and then we will have a prayer of thanksgiving before we receive the cup. At the conclusion of the communion today, the Lord's Supper table, the deacons will be in the back with their Bibles open. I'm good, yes, sir. The deacons will be in the back with their open Bibles, and they'll be receiving a benevolence offering as you depart the sanctuary this morning. And it says that we're going to be singing a hymn. We're not going to make it to the Mount of Olives, but we are going to sing a hymn as we depart. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Word of God reads. All right. So as we begin here, we in Matthew's Gospel, we're preaching through that Gospel, and so we're going to stay in Matthew's Gospel for the Lord's Supper. So in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread after a blessing. He broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And so as we think about the bread this morning, this little wafer unleavened in our hand or in our fingers, I want you to think about the willing sacrifice that Jesus made as he knew what was coming for him as he rode in on that foal of a donkey. I mean, friend, before he even got to that point, I believe Jesus knew at the earliest of consciousness, of comprehending, I believe Jesus knew that he was going to the cross for me and you. Amen. To give of his body. This is my body. Man, when Jesus is there and they take him into custody and they begin to do things to his body, those are the things that were due for us. Those are the things. That is the price to pay for sin. There are consequences for breaking God's law. There are consequences for not living up to God's word. And the consequences is what Jesus experienced on Calvary's cross as they beat him and as they mocked him, and as they plucked out his beard, and as they spat in his face, and as they beat him about the head, and as they whipped him within an inch of his life. Those are the things that was due me. Those were the things that were due to you. But praise God. Praise God for Jesus' grace and Jesus' mercy, motivated by God's love. We don't have to be on that cross. God found His perfect lamb, and He slaughtered it. He sacrificed it for me and you. And that's this bread today. Let's thank Him for it, and then we'll partake of it. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, we thank You for the plan before eternity, before the foundation of the world. We thank You for the plan of redemption. Lord, in Your sovereignty, You knew how You were going to do it. You were going to send Your Son to die for our sin penalty, to die for our guilt, to die so that we may be right with You. And Lord, as we rest in the blessing of Jesus' obedience to go to that cross and to lay down His life of His own free will, oh, we remember today. We remember today, Lord. We remember. Jesus, we thank You for that incredible step, for that incredible obedience. Oh, You wrestled with it in the Garden of Gethsemane. You wrestled with carrying all of humanity's sin debt on Yourself. But You said You'd do it, and You did it. And we praise You for it. We thank You for the wonderful picture of sacrifice represented here today in the element of the bread. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Shall we eat? Why don't you sing us another chorus? We're going to have one chorus here, one verse, and then we'll carry on.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love.
Amen. Thank you, brother. As we continue on in the Scripture, it says, when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom. Well, we take our cup this morning, friend. And what a beautiful cup it is, right? What a beautiful cup it is. And we've talked about this in years past and in different Lord's Supper messages past, but this was a cup of communion, a cup of betrothal. Jesus was basically linking Himself with His apostles, saying that, boys, I'm betrothing Myself to you, not in some kind of a weird, perverted way, but in a very spiritual, foundational way. Jesus was saying, man, we're forever linked, guys. We're forever linked. And this cup seals it. And you know what this cup signifies, gentlemen, to His disciples? He was saying, this is the blood. This represents My blood, right? And what did He do on that cross? He bled out, didn't He? For me and you. I don't know how long I've been doing this, a long, long time, but every now and then, you know, it's like things recycle. things that don't work, things that are unbiblical, things that are abomination, they run their course, and then it's like they die, and then the old devil takes them, repackages them, dusts them all off, and then tries to get them back into the church, another angle, another way. One of those ways is that they try to clean this cross thing up. They try to downplay the blood. Well, nobody wants to talk about blood, preacher. Nobody wants to hear about the sacrifice and blood. I mean, isn't that gross? Nobody wants to talk about how the blood hit the ground and coagulated in the dirt. Nobody wants to talk about that. But friend, that's exactly what happened. The blood, yeah, running down our Savior's face, mixing in with His sweat, the blood, running down His shredded back, running down the glutes of His body and down the hamstrings of His legs and dripping off the knees and running all the way down to His ankles and His feet. Some of it drying on the way, some of it not, right? And the smell of death in the air, the smell of bodily fluids, the smell, the sights, the sounds, the groans, all because the lifeblood was leaving that old body. But friend, that blood, that precious blood, Jesus' precious blood covers me and you. When Jesus looks upon us, those of us that have experienced salvation, those of us that have placed our faith and trust in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, when He looks upon us, He doesn't see our sin. He sees that blood covering. He sees a child of Himself. He sees a son or a daughter. Amen? Amen. Because of the blood, right? You ever have anybody try to take the blood away from you, try to take the blood out of the church, try to take the blood out of this communion, show them the door. Lovingly, but show them the door. For friend, without the blood, we in trouble. But He shed His blood for me and you. Let's thank Him for it, and then we'll receive it. Jesus, we come to You now, and we thank You, Lord, for Your shed blood on Calvary's cross. We can only imagine the pain, the burden, the sacrifice, the anxiety, the horror that You experienced on the cross for us. We can only imagine it. We can't ever really get there, Lord. But Father God, how thankful and grateful we are that You shed Your blood for us and that Your blood today covers our sin penalty and that because of Your blood, we can experience the grace of God. We can experience the mercy of God because of Your blood, because You were the perfect sacrifice. We receive all the benefits of it. So, Lord, we remember today what You've done, how You've done it, Your great sacrifice. May we be reminded. May we be rejuvenated. May we have a fresh infilling of who we are as blood-bought believers today. We love You today, Jesus. We praise You for all that You've done for us, for all that You're doing for us, for all that You promise to do in the future. We hold on to it. We're not going to let it go. We thank You today. It's in Your name we pray and God's people said. Amen. Amen. Shall we drink? I'll invite you to stand. Our deacons are going to go back to the back of the sanctuary with their Bibles. We're going to sing one more song. And at the conclusion of the song, you will be dismissed. You have an awesome afternoon. Please come back and hear Brother John's ministry report. It'll be a blessing for you. Amen. All right, let's sing, brother.
Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Amen.